Feel like you're stumbling around in the dark when it comes to your relationship with Christ? Then I would invite you to join us for the next few minutes as we go to God's Word for focus and direction. Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon is next. Join us. Hello. Welcome to Abounding Grace, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden, located at 8650 Benson Road. We would invite you to join us as our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, refers us back to God's Word once again that we might find our grounding in Christ, our encouragement, and our strength to go on day by day in Him. With this edition of Abounding Grace, here's Pastor Chris.
Well, thank you for tuning in today to Abounding Grace. You know, this week we are considering Revelation chapter 20. And in Revelation chapter 20, we read this description of the binding of Satan for this 1,000-year reign of Christ. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is called the devil. It was the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years were finished. Well, we've been looking at the different viewpoints this past week. The predominant viewpoint over the last 100 years has probably been the premillennial dispensational view that at some point there will be the rapture of the church. You will have 7 years of great tribulation, and then the Lord Jesus will return, set up his literal reign in the Jerusalem rebuilt temple. And at that time, Satan will be bound, a great chain will be put around his neck, and the nations will come to Jesus. Well, we looked at yesterday. That's not ultimately how the Bible presents the reign of Christ. Ephesians, for instance, proclaims that when he ascended into heaven, that he was raised on high, all authority, all dominions, all powers were placed under his feet. It's a reign. And we consider what happened and what was described in Matthew chapter 4 when this was said. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region in shadow of death, light has dawned. He's come. And the nations will come to him." Remember, that is what everyone is looking for. The question is when. When will the nations come to him? When he comes and literally sets up his kingdom on earth? Well, think of the scenario, my friends. He goes to the cross. He dies. Jesus dies. He's resurrected. He says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go make disciples of all Gentiles, all nations." He rises up into heaven, he takes his seat, Ephesians 1. And what happens? Immediately at Pentecost, the Spirit comes, tongues of fire came upon the apostles. And what did they do? This is Acts chapter 2, verse 6. "And when the sound occurred, the multitude came together and they were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, 'Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each in our own language in which we were born, Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and part of Libya, adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs? We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God.'" Those are the nations. The gospel's going to the ends of the earth. Follow Acts, and that's the whole pattern. "You will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth, to all the Gentiles." Never before had this happened. The door to all the nations to come to Christ was occurring. Repent and believe in Jesus. And people were. People like Cornelius, Acts chapter 10 and 11, and this little lowly Philippian jailer. They came And who were they bowing down to? To Jesus. Jesus was seated on his throne, not on earth, but in heaven. The whole book of Revelation pictures the 1,000-year reign of Christ as a heavenly reign. And that is how Revelation also presents the binding of Satan. Notice what it says in Revelation 20. A chain was put around his neck. Some of you are saying, Where's that done? Where is Satan sitting right now? If you're saying Christ is reigning and Satan has been bound, where is he right now with a chain around his neck? Well, we looked at that yesterday. He roams around like a roaring lion. How can you say he's bound? How can you say that? All the suffering, all the persecution just doesn't fit. Well, read Revelation 20 carefully. What does it say? He was bound so that, here's the purpose, so that what? He should deceive the nations no more until 1,000 years were finished. He defines the binding. No one is saying that the devil is not attacking and active. No one who even teaches the binding of Satan now says that. What Revelation 20 is telling us is that he cannot stop the evangelization of the world. It has gone from Jerusalem unto the ends of the earth. It's traveled from that little upper room in Jerusalem with the disciples to the apostles, to Europe, to North America, to China, to Asia, to all over, to Arabia. It has gone. That is what Jesus said. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. My friends, Satan is bound this way. He can't stop the evangelization of the world. Look at the Old Testament. The gospel sat where? It sat in one little nation. In one little people, all the world sat in darkness. The coming of Christ comes. He binds the strong man, Matthew 12. He rises from the dead. He's ascended into heaven. He says, go and make disciples of all nations because all authority, all power has been given to me. He's seated in heaven, Ephesians 1. And look at the progress of the gospel. Read Acts. Today it has gone to the ends of the earth. It is going. The Bible is being translated in every tongue of every people. Why do you think we have Wycliffe Bible translators? Ask them what's being done. You see, the real paradox to us, and this is what is a seeming paradox, is that it is precisely the devil's persecution that only strengthens the church. You know, where is the gospel making the most headway today? Not in prosperous, rich America, where we have our show here. No. The gospel is making the most headway in the third world countries. It is making its most blessed advancement in China, a communist nation. It sits underground. We are a persecuted church and yet triumphant. It's very similar to the reality that some of you are going through. You know, when you're going through sickness or trial and the devil is attacking at his worst, as we read, we do not wrestle with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. You know, when you're going through those things and you say, I'm a mess, I'm facing things totally beyond me, I can't even deal with it. I recognize for the first time in my life, right? It's then that I finally recognize how cast upon the mercies of the Lord I truly am. The strongest and strangest phenomenon has just happened. In your deepest distress, you've been forced to Christ. And the casting of your life upon Him is the safest and strongest place of victory you could ever be. The strangest phenomenon, isn't it, that it takes the humbling of a person to raise him strong in Christ? Well, it's true in the life of the church. This is why we can't understand the binding of Satan to mean that he doesn't persecute anymore. The binding has to be that he can't stop the gospel, because in the history of the church, it has always been the persecution and the false doctrines and the problems and the reality that the devil is a roaring lion that in the end has actually strengthened the church. because it's been stronger as the Spirit has emboldened the church through persecution. And I don't doubt that anything we go through as any of your churches together makes you stronger in the end. That is the seeming paradox, the seeming thing that you can't reconcile. That everything indeed does work together for good to those who love him who are the called, even the hard realities of life. So look at the benefits of Christ's ascension into heaven. That's what's happening on earth during this 1,000 years between Christ's ascension and return. It's not a literal number. Every number across the board in Revelation is symbolic. If you read it literal, then you only are going to have 144,000 people saved. I mean, you have numbers used symbolic. Seven is a number of perfection and completion numbers. You have all these numbers used that way. John takes us here and he shows us in this vision what is happening here on earth. Christ has taken his seat in heaven, and it is at this time that all the nations, my friends, are coming to him. They are bowing. The day of his reign has come. Read carefully Ephesians chapter 1. When he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, go and make disciples of whom? All nations, all Gentiles. The promise made to Abraham has come to fulfillment. That in you, Abraham, all the Gentiles of the earth shall be blessed, and your descendants shall be as the sand of the seashore and the stars in heavens. And so when we come to Acts 2 and we see all these nations coming and believing, and the gospel being spoken in their language, we know that Christ has taken his seat and that a great plundering of the devil's kingdom has come. The strong man has been bound. The gospel is prevailing. And that is why, in the midst of all of this persecution, as the devil has come down to us having great wrath, Revelation 12, and seeks to destroy us, Jesus said, the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. He will build his church. He will build up living stones through the power of the message preached. And as the gospel goes to the ends of the church, end of the earth, my friends, a multitude is being gathered that no man can number. Ensure then that you are one of those who has come to this Christ who is reigning. Thank you for tuning in today to Abounding Grace. We are so glad that you've tuned in. We want to invite you to our worship services at the Linden URC. 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. are the worship service times. We also have a website that you can access and find a lot of information about who we are, what we believe, lindenurc.com. Phone number 360-318-0429. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.